reading a couple prayers. Just two of the more beautiful prayers, I think, in the New Testament. At least for me, these are some of my favorite prayers. Paul prays in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Listen to what he's praying for us. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. You'd think that's enough, wouldn't you? I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know him, know what is the hope to which he has called you, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Let me pray. Lord, man, if that prayer is ours, Lord, if that prayer is ours, open the eyes of our heart, I pray. That is my prayer for us, for me, for us. Lord, open the eyes of our heart. Give us a spirit of wisdom. May we see and know you more and more. May we know and have confidence in that glorious power that you have for us. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is ours, Lord. Help us to have confidence, to know that without doubt. Lord, that's my prayer for us. May we put everything under the feet of Jesus where it is. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Second prayer is in Ephesians as well. Chapter 3, verse 14. Another prayer for us. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend, to understand with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. It's quite easy to see in these verses that they have faith and love toward all the saints, and that Paul is giving thanks for them. He doesn't stop giving thanks for them. But that's not the end. Now he's praying for wisdom for them, a spirit of wisdom and revealing in the knowledge of him, that he will reveal himself more and more to us, not in inspired revelation, but just that the spirit of wisdom and the eyes of our hearts being enlightened, we can see God and Christ clearer, so that we know what is the hope to which he's called us. So he's praying on top of this great faith and this love for everybody. He's praying, God, give them this. There's more. Give them this. May their hearts understand the riches of the inheritance for them and the immeasurable greatness of power toward us who believe. There is great power toward us who believe. That power that raised Jesus from the dead. According to those that riches of his glory, he may grant you strength with power. He's praying that he will grant us strength with power through his spirit inside, in our inner being, so that we don't crumble or cave or fall to these right now minute little pressures, but that we'll be strong inside of us. Weird verse, verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I thought when I believed in Christ, he came in and dwells in my heart through faith. Why is he praying that when he just said, I know you believe and you love? And because we shove Christ out. That's why he prayed in Revelation to Laodicea, behold, I stand at the door and knock, open it, and I'll come in, because you've pushed Christ out. He said in John, if you hear my words, if you do them, if you love me and you keep my words, me and the Father will come and will dwell in you, will make our home in you. But you fill your heart with all these other things. Everything else takes a priority, and you're pushing me out. And he's praying, man, I pray that on the inside, the door is wide open and you just like, it's all Christ. Come on in. Come on, just live here, dwell here. Lord, may you live through me. All these pressures and fears and anxieties and passions, the world, the great things around us, even family, even good things, man, they just start filling our heart. And he just says, look, I'm praying for you, the believers, with all this love, and I'm praying for strength that Christ, by faith, you will know, you will absolutely know, Christ dwells here. He is in me. Do you? Do you know that? Do you know that the living, resurrected, ascended Savior, Jesus Christ, lives in you? And he prays that the fullness of God will dwell in you. The fullness of that just seems way off the chart. The fullness of God to dwell here? Jesus, the resurrected and ascended Christ here? The power? Wow. You see, I know you have faith and love, but I want so much more. I want strength. I want you to just be full of Christ. And everything, every choice, every value, everything you see and look and touch and hear, everything is right here through Christ. He is everything. The fullness of God here. Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. That's been one of our great cliche refrigerator verses for I don't know how long now, that we have never had an opportunity to really exercise, unless a loved one passed away or we had a natural tragedy of some sort or we you know, shot ourselves in the foot. We've never really had an opportunity, something out of our hands for us to say, Lord, I need strength on the inside so that God will just fill me and that you will do abundantly more than I could ever ask or think. God, you have to take care of this because this is so far over my pay grade. This is I can't even affect it. I can't touch it. It's way out there, but man, Lord, I'm praying. Do more abundantly. Way off the chart than I could even imagine. Do something with me, with that strength inside of me, with us, with our church, with our city, our nation. Lord, I'm praying for something way beyond my imagination. Now, to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Oh, no, this is you. This is me, according to the power at work within us. You mean me. Do something abundantly crazy, powerful, amazing, beyond with me and us. This little 60-something body, really. And I'm wondering if that's not the bigger issue for us today. You see, if I go through this room, do you have faith in Christ and love for all the saints in him? Yes, everybody. Yes, raise your hand. Is he able to do? Yes, he is. Is he able to do abundantly above all that I could ask or think with you? And with you. And you, and you. Does he dwell in you? And is the fullness of God possible to dwell in you for you to stand, to rise above all anything you could? Can you walk on the water with Jesus? Above anything going on, anywhere, can you walk on the water? Will he be present with you in the garden? Will he do it? Are you able? Could that possibly happen? Does the living, ascended Savior know you, live in you, lift you up, and do something in you? Is his presence that powerful, that available in you? And that may be, where we start to wonder. But Paul prays that for the believers. With that in mind, I'm going to quickly go through a couple things in Genesis with Abraham and draw this to a close. Genesis chapter 17. As an illustration, as the New Testament tells us, these things were written for our encouragement and admonition. They were illustrations and pictures to teach us. So in Genesis chapter 17, Abraham is told by the Lord and his angels that God was going to do something with him abundantly above, more than he could ever ask or think. Hey, old man, I'm going to do something beyond what you could ever ask or think. Listen to what he's told and how he responds. Genesis chapter 17, verse 15. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of people shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face, and he laughed, and he said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who's 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, the old lady, she gonna bear a child? And Abraham said to God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And God said, no, no. Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you will call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. And I'll bless Ishmael too. But no, no there, old timer. You and the missus are going to have a child. Abundantly more than he could ever imagine. And he laughs. He laughs about it. And it's funny. That's crazy. Can't happen. He suggests a compromise, which is so typical for us. Can God himself, Jesus Christ, the fullness of God in you, can he take you in this situation and do something way crazy more than you could ever ask or think? Well, I don't know, but I do know I got a plan. I think I'll... And we come up with our Ishmaels. And then God says, no, 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 I'm going to do it through you. And maybe that's where we kind of laugh a little bit on the inside at God. And not me, not me. You know what I really find interesting about Abraham? And I've told you, I think his faith is growing. In chapter 17, you're in Genesis chapter 17, right? Look at verse 3. When God makes his covenant of circumcision with him. When the Lord appeared to him. In verse 3 it says, the Lord appeared to him and it says, then Abram fell on his face. And God said to him, behold, my covenant is with you. I'll make you the father of a multitude of nations. God promised him that, and Abram fell on his face in worship before God, in humility before God. And God said, yes, I'm going to make you a multitude of nations. Oh, man, what a humble, amazing guy to fall on his face and worship this promise. And then in verse 17... I mean, it just kind of happens again, doesn't it? Hey, and Sarah, your wife, you and her are going to have a baby. You, really, you. In verse 17, then Abram fell on his face and laughed. I mean, he fell on his face in humility and worship at the promise, but then when he came to him and he said, yeah, about this time next year, the little woman's going to have a baby. No, you mean Ishmael. No, I mean the little woman. And then he falls on his face and he laughs. The same Abram that worshipped him on his face is now on his face laughing at God because you really don't think I can do this. You really don't think. No, no, God can't. God, no. I mean, there's this big promise. I'll make you a multitude. I don't know how he's going to do it. Yeah, he'll do it. He'll take. No, no, you, Abraham, you are going to have a baby. Ha! And he's on his face. Now he's laughing at God. That, I think that's us sometimes. We read it, we look at it, the promises. I believe in God, I love all the saints, man, he can do it. Yep, I'm strengthening you, you're going to be able to do more abundantly than all you can ask or ever think. You can stand for Christ in this day and age and in the next one and the next one and the next one. If the Antichrist is knocking on the front door, you can do it. And then we start laughing. And then we fall on our face, and the same ones who sat here Sunday morning and sang these songs, man, I'll just never stop wondering at the mercy of my God. I'll kneel in the dust at the foot of the cross until he says, no, you. I'm going to fill you with God, and you are going to rise above everything. And you can walk on the water with Jesus. And then we're back on our face laughing at God. Genesis chapter 18, verse 12. Sarah's response. Genesis chapter 18, verse 12 should be really about on the same page. Genesis chapter 18, verse 12. Let me begin at verse 9. They said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And this is the angels and the Lord. There's three of them. "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "She's in the tent." The Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the door of the tent.
No.
She was listening at the door of the tent like good wives do. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I'm worn out, my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abram, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?'" Now there's a refrigerator verse. "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I'll return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son." And Sarah denied it and said, "I did not laugh." She was afraid. He said, "No, you did laugh. You did laugh." She laughed there behind the door there at the door of the tent. In her heart, she laughed to herself. There was nobody there with her. Oh, no, that can't happen. That can't happen. She was listening at the door and laughed to herself, verse 12. "I'm worn out. I'm worn out." She denies it. It's just crazy. She laughs in this disbelief that God would use her, the old lady, and him, the old man. I mean, you can't do that, can you? In Genesis chapter 21, Genesis chapter 21, verse 5, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him, and Sarah said, "God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me." And she said, "Who would have said to Abram that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." Now she's laughing. Now she's really laughing. She laughed that God would actually fill her with this power and his presence, and that old woman passed her age could have a child. She laughed, and now she's laughing when he's done what he said he was going to do. And now everybody's laughing. That's what we do, isn't it? God has said he can do this, and we're going, "No, I don't know how. Probably not me. Maybe." And then he does it, and then we're like, "Whoa, God! How did this happen? This is crazy. Pastor Terry." And then we're laughing. And everybody's laughing with us. But go back to that point when God says, "No, you. You who sing about mercy and grace. You who sing about the love that never fails, never ends, that God loves and knows you. You who talk about, it's all about God." Okay, I want to use you. I want to fill you. Okay, I want to rise you up to walk on the water. Okay. And we get so tickled when God does use us. We get so tickled that we name our firstborn child Laughter, because that is what Isaac means, isn't it? See a little footnote there in your Bible? She gave birth to her child named Isaac, which means he laughs. I mean, this is so remarkable. She names her son He Laughs. He laughs. and gives birth to more laughter. We laugh at what we don't think he can do. I mean, I got the verse pinned on my refrigerator, but I really don't believe he will do it. When the waves come, when society changes, when they want to just slam the door on God, and many churches do, and he stands at the door knocking, 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 open and I will come in and dwell with you. We really laugh when we think, no, God knows me. God wants to fill me. He wants to raise me up, and nothing comes before God. The choices I make are going to be his and his alone. He is above all things, all his enemies, everything is under his feet. No, God is all I serve. And you can do it. And we laugh. We laugh at what we don't think he will do with us. And we're ready to compromise. And then we laugh when he does it in joy and amazement. Wow! And that gives birth to more laughter. And if we just in the first place realize, just realize, stop quoting the verse, get it off your refrigerator and put it in your heart. God can do this in you. Stand for God and God alone. Make your choices based on God and God alone. He's with you, walking with you in the garden. He's on the water bidding you, come, Peter, come and walk with me. You can do this. I'll do so many things above and beyond what you could ever imagine. Now that times are a little bit harder, my word never fails. There's one last, and I close. One last laughter you need to know about. It's in the book of Psalms, of all places. Psalm chapter 2. Psalm chapter 2, I'm going to read the whole psalm. It's only 12 verses. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? Conspiracy theorists, all of them. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth, the kings, the governments of the earth, they set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointing, saying, let's just burst their bonds apart and cast away the cords from us. Verse 4, he who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I've set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I'll tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you're my son, today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possessions, Jesus. You shall break them with the rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, O rulers, O government, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling and kneel down and kiss the Son's hand. Kiss him. Lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. And he laughs. And these things that are happening that you and I look at and we go, oh, God would never fill me with that much power. Well, Paul's praying for you that he will. And we laugh and just think that's impossible. Look at the magnitude of what's happening out there and all of that and every, oh my gosh, What? I can't. Are you kidding? No. And you need to know God's laughing at them. God's laughing at his enemies. He's laughing at these kings and rulers. And he's looking at them in derision and he's saying, you better get on your knees quick to me. Don't laugh at God. Just know he can fill you with strength and power beyond what you're ever imagined you doing. Walk on the water of this life. You have so much power inside of you, ready to be unleashed, to face the fury of it all. God will take care of that. He's laughing at their plots to throw God out of everything and become God in themselves. You remember the Old Testament story there early in Genesis about the Tower of Babel? When they all came together and everybody spoke the same language and they were going to build a tower to heaven and make a name for themselves. God laughs. He just scattered them by the word of his mouth. He just, now y'all can speak a different language now. Watch this. This is going to be funny. Let you try and talk to you, and you try and talk to you, and you try and talk to you, and he scatters them over the face of the earth. And isn't it ironic that humanity on planet Earth this day wants to come back together in one world government and one world economy and come together as one and make a name for ourselves without God. And we will have an anti-Christ. Let's just go back to Babel. And God laughs. God laughs at the foolishness of that. And you, man, woman, child, old woman, old man, God has given you the power within you to walk on water. While he laughs, he will pick you up and carry you through to whatever magnificent thing it is you need to do. Whatever trouble you're facing, whatever tough choices, Jesus needs to be the final answer in your choices. And you will walk on the water. Don't laugh. You'll probably be laughing later when he works this thing out and you go, he's laughing. It's foolishness to him. These governments, this plan, these plots, these rules, he's laughing. This is crazy. I created you. I can flood your whole earth. I can wipe you out like that. Hey, children of mine. Hey, believers. You came to the cross. Now let's go. Let's go. The fullness of God can dwell in you, even if you're 190. Doesn't matter. I'll make children come out of your body. We're going to do some amazing things. Oh, you can't imagine it. You can't even imagine what I'm going to do with you. But you can. If Jesus is above all power, above all things, above all created things. If you kneel in the dust at the foot of the cross and all those other cliche Christian things you've been singing most of your life, if you'll make that come true, just come to me. Let me fill you. And I'll show you what real power is. I will show you what real power, power of heaven and earth. I'll show you the power that raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at the right hand of God. It's available to you. Now. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your promises, your teaching, your love, your power. Lord, give us grace to make choices based on this power, not laugh at you, laugh with you. laugh with you as you rule, as you conquer, as you save souls. In Jesus' name, amen.